This is Listening to the Plans of the Birds, an archive broadcast, Nature of Things, from May 25th, 1990.
I'm sitting quietly in the woods now, on a bench overlooking the valley of Baltimore Brook. It's the first sunny day in nearly a week, and I'm indulging in what has become for me a rite of the maturing spring. Ecologically, it is summer in the woods. The leaves have erupted on beech, maple, cherry, and basswood. The lazy, insistent call of the red-eyed vireo drifts down from the green ceiling overhead, and somewhere to the west, where the forest cover thickens, a wood thrush playing tourlie on his alto flute. Between and sometimes over those calls, I can hear the red-bellied woodpecker chirring. Not his loud daybreak call, just the periodic matter-of-fact announcement of his presence, his title claim written on the wind. A high-pitched call directly overhead, just a few notes, proclaims another presence. I get out my binoculars and focus on the maples, leaning back to rest my head on a convenient branch. In a few moments that seem like eternity, a beautiful little male redstart moves into a sun-dappled patch of maple foliage. He doesn't pause long, but is long enough for me to drink in the elegant combination of black, white, and orange that identifies him. Like a miniature oriole, but his waistcoat is black, not orange. The redstart moves on, but before I have time to move from my awkward perch, I am transfixed by a well-known call, pit-tweet, or pit-whir. The first note sharp and short, the second note buzzy. I'm about to enjoy the most delicious visual feast that the summer woods can offer. A male scarlet tanager, his red body a glowing coal, his wings and tail deepest charcoal. He moves to the very perch previously occupied by the redstart, and there pauses just long enough to give voice to a truncated version of his buzzy robin song. I follow him with my binoculars as he flies through the foliage in search of insects, but have to break off as he disappears into the dense foliage. Besides, a crested flycatcher has appeared, announced by his slightly gravelly quirt. I have to move to locate him, but there he is on the uppermost branch of a half-dead maple. He calls again, flicking his tail, and then launches out after some flying bug or other. The bug shines briefly in the sun before the flycatcher makes contact, spreading his olive wings and rufous tail as he maneuvers in pursuit. The forest quiets down for a moment, save for the incessant call of the vireo, and I have a moment to ponder the message in what I have heard and seen. There is nothing in this treetop conversation that smacks of birds longing to move on to a more northerly home ground as soon as they have taken on enough nourishment to fuel the remaining leg of their migrant flight. The talk here is all of claims to the local real estate, and if I listen carefully, I will learn enough about nesting plans to locate a number of their nests later on. My guess is that the redstart has designs on one of the 20-foot-tall beech or maple saplings just over the brink of the hill. The tanager is probably planning a treetop nest somewhere nearby, but he is presently too vague about his intentions. I won't know for sure until I hear him repeatedly giving voice to his buzzy carol. By then, he'll have chosen a favorite perch, and I'll know his nest is nearby. If I can spot the female collecting nesting material, I may be able to find the very spot. The wood thrush, I am sure, has chosen a spot across the valley where there is a dense understory of maple, hornbeam, and hemlock. His nest, built on the style of the robin, but characterized by a base of leaf skeletons and streamers of anything available from Kleenex to weed stalks, will be relatively easy to find. I am awakened from my reverie by a drum roll from the west across the draw. That is a pileated woodpecker for sure. I'd like to wait for his strident staccato call, but I have barely enough time to put this tape in the mail so that you can share what I have found in the woods. As I hurry across the fields, a whole chorus of birds, almost too numerous to sort out, rose-breasted grosbeak, robin, oriole, yellow warbler, song sparrow, and house wren, just for starters, is eager to announce the subdivision of the Back 40 and the wildlife trail. I'd like to pause in the shade of a fragrant autumn olive and oblige them, but there's no time left. Now, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.